Belated birthday greetings out to former LPGA golfer Elaine Crosby. Also, current birthday greetings today for Wes Sarver, Shane Ross, and Steve Finnemore, who, of course, Steve is the head basketball coach for East Lansing High School's boys team. So congratulations to all those, and happy birthday as we head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone line, 393-3700. That's where you can contact us, 393-3700. You can also email us at morningshow@1320wils.com. That's morningshow@1320wils.com. I received an email a couple of days ago about Walt Sorg, and this young lady wanted to know a little bit more about him. He used to be on the radio here, as a matter of fact, and has a wealth of experience and knowledge, and she wanted to know why he was running for state representative, and so we thought we'd ask him. Walt, good morning.
Good morning, Tony, and happy birthday to Sandy Dragoo, the head of CADA.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy birthday, Sandy. Now, Walt, we've already asked you this, but just to elaborate on that emailer, why in the world you want to do this? You don't need the headache.
Oh, I love it, though. I've been around public policy and the state government my entire life, you know, sitting in the chair you're sitting in, working for government, working in communications consulting. But the real reason I'm running, really, is my grandkids and other grandkids. What I see happening in state government right now is they're not going to have the opportunities that I had when I was a kid. You know, to get a great education, to get a job that had great benefits and promised me a secure retirement. You know, a lot of things that where I think the state really is to put on the reverse gear. And that's why I'm running. I'm trying to get us moving forward again.
All right. Walt Sorg, who's running for state representative, has a four-point plan for education. Before we talk about that, what do you think about the money that we give to schools for education? Now, what do you think about the education process here in the state of Michigan?
Well, I think when we talk about all these things in the abstract in terms of the budget and test scores and all that, we forget about the kids. And we're really forgetting about the purpose of the schools in the first place. What's the way that we can educate them the best? And, you know, the things that I propose in my plan really are things that we know work best. Because if you send your kid to a private school where you're paying $15,000, $20,000 a year tuition, I know very few people can do that. But you look at that and you see things where they're using the best practices. And you know, it doesn't have to cost that much, certainly. But those are things we can do to actually improve education. The legislature and the governor spent the last 18 months basically operating at the margins of education. They spent a lot of time focusing on business practices. They spent a lot of time, really, on trying to, I think, scapegoating teachers, cutting their pay and saying it's their fault, but at the same time to motivate them, cutting their pay and their benefits so that they make less, and not really getting at the things that are going to make our schools better. And that's really getting our kids in an environment where they're more likely to be able to learn. We need a longer school year. There's no question about that. The United States generally has the shortest school year in the world in terms of our competitors. Most of our competitors have school years ranging from 210 to 220 days a year. Our kids are in school right now 175. Another thing we know that works, especially for the younger kids, is smaller classrooms. MSU has led national studies showing that a smaller classroom, 15 to 20 kids in a K-3 classroom, pays dividends for the entire education career of every child. They learn better. That's when they learn how to read, and that's when they learn the basic skills of learning. And if a teacher can focus more time on each kid, they're gonna prosper for the rest of their school career, right through college, just because of what they learned in those early years. That's something that clearly has to happen. And we really need to take advantage of the technology revolution. The tablets in the classroom are something that are going to happen. They're beginning to happen. I'm saying we need to accelerate that so that we're the leader of the pack rather than following the pack.
You talk about also ending political sniping aimed at teachers and administrators. Do you mean aimed at or by?
No, aimed at the teachers and administrators. I hear a lot of people. I go door to door virtually every night talking with people in the district. And I hear, I talk with teachers who are tired of being told it's their fault that the kids aren't performing well when they're struggling just to keep order in their classroom, to get supplies into their classroom, and are dealing with 30, 35 children at a time, and dealing with more classes than they can handle. And one night about 6:30, I was in a lady's driveway. She was getting home from work. She was an elementary school teacher. The kids had gone home at 2:30 in the afternoon or 3 o'clock, something like that. She was just getting home, and she just unloaded on me for 15 minutes about how frustrated she was after 28 years of teaching. She felt like everybody was blaming her because of the shortcomings of the system. And it was impacting her morale to the point where she actually told her children who wanted to be teachers, if you want to be a teacher, you should leave Michigan because this is not a good place to be a teacher.
Walt, are teachers' unions helping this at all?
Teachers' unions aren't the problem. Tony, that question reflects really the kind of scapegoating and name-calling and finger-pointing that I think we need to get away from. It's not the teachers' unions. It's not the teachers. It's not the school boards. It's not the school administrators. It's all of us. When the primary education program in the state is giving less compensation to teachers and creating and diverting money away from public schools so that into the private sector so that we end up with larger classrooms. That's counterproductive for education. Finger-pointing is counterproductive. I don't want to blame anybody for what's going on in the past. I want to focus on what's going to work in the future.
Walt, as I ask questions to folks about education, I hear that led by teachers' unions, education here in the state of Michigan likes the status quo. They want it to be it is as it is. Teachers have always gotten this, and they should still get this. And they don't want to. There's a struggle with changing to using electronic mediums and online learning, and there are these challenges because. Led by unions, education doesn't want to lose the power that they have. What do you think about that?
Tony, your focus on the unions, I think, is really counterproductive. It's not the unions are the members. They're the teachers. They're the educators. Unions aren't these monolithic creatures that came in from outer space. They're speaking on behalf of their members, the teachers, the people that we're entrusting our kids to. They're trying to finger point and blame them for things that are going wrong. Is totally
Walt,
they're not causing the problem.
Walt, it's not blaming the unions. The fact is that union union leadership. We give them a voice here on the program quite a bit. And what they tell me on this program and off the program and what teachers tell me is different. The teachers we talk to don't point fingers and don't blame the governor and don't do this. Yes, they want what they want and they want a little bit more help, but I hear the aggressive nature and aggressive tones coming from both sides, and that includes union leadership as well as legislators.
Tony, I want to talk about what we can do to fix the problem we're having in our schools, and that is to deal with educational issues. Now, in terms of what's happened in the past and the bills that are being considered right now, you know, when somebody makes a contract, somebody makes an agreement, they should be expected to keep that contract, keep that agreement. And that's one of the things that's going on right now, where you have people that work for 30 years in the education system or work for 30 years in other systems being told that the promises that were made to you, the representations that were made on which you planned your life, all of a sudden we've decided we're not going to keep those promises, so the heck with you. That is something, sure, that irritates a lot of people. And that, when they talk about, you know, we want the things that we've had, of course they're going to want the people of the state of Michigan to stand behind the promises that were made by the people of the state of Michigan in legislation in the past. That's certainly a valid complaint on their part. But in terms of innovation in education, in terms of doing the job better, I've seen specifically the NEA team up with the charter schools and with the Catholic schools and a lot of other organizations to try to find solutions to things like our very high dropout rate. They work together with the administrators, the principals, the charters, education experts from Michigan State University and elsewhere. They're looking for solutions.
All right.
They're not looking to maintain the status quo by any means.
All right, Walt Thor gets elected, and he's sitting down at a table, and the governor and the people who decide funding for education, what do you tell him, Walt?
First, I think we have to have a conversation. Do we truly want excellence in our schools? Because the route we're on right now is going to guarantee we have mediocre performance in our schools. This is not going to bring excellence. Privatizing much of the school system is only going to guarantee that we have some failing public schools down the road. We have to decide first and foremost, do we want excellence in education? Do we want to apply best educational practices to our schools? And if we do, then let's figure out exactly what does it cost to achieve this and how are we going to do that. But you start with the goal. It's sort of like when you sit down with your family and you decide, well, what do we want to do in the next year? Where do we want to take our vacation? What do we want to do in terms of our home? Where do we want to live? Those sorts of things. You decide what your goals are first, and then you figure out the best way to achieve those goals.
All right.
And that's where we have to start.
Walt, if people want to know more about you and your campaign, where can they go?
They can go to www.sorgreprep.com.
All right, Walt, we appreciate the dialogue. Thanks so much, sir.
Tony, you have yourself a great day. It's a beautiful day in Michigan.
8:48 on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. 1320WILS.com. It's 58 great degrees.
Like being your own boss. Like even better controlling your